So true. And I referenced earlier when we started worship that shortens are away at a family reunion this week. So to have no shortens in the building is actually like, whoa. And you walk in, you're like, okay, what did one of the shortens probably do on a normal Sunday morning? And we're going through all the lists in our head. Like, you know, okay, is this on? Is this on? Is there air conditioning on over here? Whose turn? All these things that the shortens just do in their loving and serving God. So we appreciate them in many, many ways. And actually, usually Dave ministers the second Sunday of the month. So if you came hoping to see him and you normally aren't here, I'm really sorry. You know, but we come to see and hear and meet and be with God, right? Because he's living and moving and he is active. And I love the songs that we sang this morning that brought in some of that that grandeur and the majesty of what God is doing and what he's up to and the fact that he has sent his spirit to this earth. We're going to look at it next week, but he actually said it's good. It was good that he leaves so that he can send the Spirit. But this morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to continue with where we've been. But I've titled this morning's message, Where Are the Likes? Where are the likes? And what I mean by that is more of the contemporary social media use of the word like. Right? For those of you who are on some of the different social media platforms, you like something by usually you're clicking a thumb up, right? More times than not, that you're clicking this thumb up or a heart or something that then registers that you like this. And it's interesting because I wondered whether any of the current contemporary dictionaries have captured yet that use of the word like, and I couldn't find it. Right, so they're not using that as a word. There was 25 some odd definitions for like. That wasn't one of them. On the other hand, friend, right, to friend somebody, that was in there. And I thought that was kind of interesting, a little bit funny. Yeah, so friend had, you know, maybe 7 or 8 different definitions, but one of them was a person associated with another as a contact on a social media website. And then it gives the example. We've never met, but we're Facebook friends. Right? So friends in this much different sense, or it even had it as a verb, which means that you add someone to a contact list, right? And their example was, I just friended a guy in my class, right? Total different uses for words that we've had before, and language is like that, and, you know, 100 years ago, literally, you know, in 1919, if you would have said, oh, those are gay friends, that would mean one thing. In 2019, when you say they're gay friends, that means something totally different, right? So if you lived then and you showed up today and heard the use of some of these different words, you'd know that it's different. And whether it be social media, Facebook, or others, liking things has become a rather common expression. And I'm going to say for some, it's even become an emotional need, right? This need to be liked. This need to have what you're doing be acknowledged. And I know we've often referenced it as this next generation, be it millennials or others, or even some of our own generation, that start to live their life out loud, right, on the web. It's like, what are you putting out there? You know, you put all this stuff out there, and you wait for somebody to like it. And if somebody doesn't like it, you're like, oh, you know, maybe what's going on here? And it's interesting because a recent study just showed that anxiety is now the most common ailment amongst adults. Actually, all folks in the survey. Anxiety. It's the biggest problem that they're working on or working with. It has superseded weight loss. Most people say, hey, what are you doing? What thing are you working on? It might be their weight or their physical health. Now it's anxiety. And we know if we read and if you're in contact at all with what's going on, especially amongst young folks, it's crazy. The level of anxiety and the inability to just even cope with what's going on. And I'm hoping this morning to bring you around to realize, you know, what the Lord has said about this and why, you know, he said, I'm giving you peace. I'm giving you my peace. Right? And we just read, and we'll look at it in a second. He's like, I want you to have joy overflowing. The last thing that we should be experiencing is anxiety to a level that's our number one social ailment. So let me pray as I move into God's word this morning. Father God, you're so good. You are so good. And Lord, we need you moment by moment. And we do ask that you, Holy Spirit, have your way even in this place this morning. Speak to us. Speak to our hearts. Speak through your written word. Speak through my words as you lead me. Lord, and even through each other. We know that you're alive in each believer, and you speak in and through us. So, Lord, have your way. Have your way, and may we hear your voice this morning as you continue to wash us with this word and shape us with this word and transform how we think so that we can, Lord, be at peace. And at the same time, Lord, rise up when we need to rise up and be warriors for you, because you do reign. You reign. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as I mentioned, we are going to be in the Gospel of John, and we've been working our way through this Gospel over time. If you missed last week, I actually did something not in John, so you missed it, okay? Listen online if you want to hear that, but you guys know, I feel this deep conviction to keep us rooted in the Scriptures and allow the life that's in them to speak to us, as we move along here. And so the reason why I brought up the whole thing about being liked is because we're going to read a portion today where Jesus said, forget like, you're going to be hated. All right, so I want to say, I'm telling you up front, if Jesus said you're going to be hated, all right, I want to know what that means. Because we have people getting upset that they're not getting liked. We're going to take it a little bit further, and I'm sure you're like, oh, goody, glad I came this morning. All right, so that Pastor Tom could tell me how I'm going to be hated. It's interesting because the word hate here in the Greek, the miseo word that's used, it's about 8 or 9 times just in this chapter, and it's got maybe another dozen or so usages throughout the New Testament. But Jesus picks this word that that actually says you may even be pursued. This hatred is being applied and pursued to be detested, and you're like, really? Does it have to be that way? Like, can I opt for plan B? Like, where I'm just like, okay, maybe you're not fond of me, but do you have to hate me? Right? These are Jesus' words. So let's try to understand them. And we're in the middle, and we're going to be in John 15, the end of John 15, if you want to start either turning or clicking or swiping there. But so far in this gospel, all right, we've come to a place where we've got this beautiful, beautiful, unique words as revealed through the gospel, through the apostle John. Some things that aren't shared in other gospel messages. And John, when he put his gospel together, he's like, I got some things I got to put down here because you need to know. And you need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you have life in his name. And so he's like, I got to put this in here. I got to get this. And the Holy Spirit has brought wonderful things to his remembrance. And we're going to get to what's called the high priestly prayer soon. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. But he's just said to his disciples some of these critical things. And he's told them how we've been chosen by God. We're called by him. He's going to reference that again today. He's like, you're even called my friends. I'm going to call you guys my friends because I've chosen you, and I've chosen you to abide in me. And I'm telling you, stay in me. You're going to be fruitful. And the fruit that you're going to bear, it's going to remain. God wants you to do things that matter for life, right? Your life matters. You can do and be and represent and reflect parts of God's glory that nobody else can. It's really remarkable. And it's why the enemy attacks the way he does, right? Because he doesn't want God to get that glory. But there's parts that are only going to be shown in you. So that's why as you connect to God's Spirit and this life starts to come out of you, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Jesus has told the disciples, you're my friends. I'm going to lay down my life for you. Matter of fact, it's such a good thing that I want you guys to do likewise. I want you to lay your lives down for each other. There's no greater way to show each other love than to lay down your life. So I'm going to pick up in verse 18 of chapter 15, and I'm going to read straight through to the first few verses of chapter 16. I'm going to stop there, and then I'll go over what we've covered. So John 15, 18 says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They'll put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you thinks he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Amen. It's God's word. So Jesus, talking to his disciples, giving them all this different encouragement, and now starts to really warn them about this real dichotomy about what's going on. And you might remember, as we've been working our way through this gospel, there's all these different groups of people that are trying to understand and figure out who Jesus is, right? And some are saying he's crazy, right? Some are saying, you know, he's not who he says he is, and there's others who are saying, I think this might be the Messiah. But in each case, what we're starting to see is Jesus is going to make very clear, okay, he's always known who he is. He's always said, I can't do anything but what the Father shows me to do. I can't do anything but say what the Father has led me to say. But I want you to know that this world that you're living in, okay, it's rejecting. It's in the process of rejecting him. It's in the process of rejecting the Father, because he's trying to show, and as God continues to reveal, right, the thing that we're going to see continually is as God reveals, you have a choice. You are either going to receive it as God's revelation, or are you going to reject it? And it's the enemy that comes along that tries to say, that's not God. That's not who he is. That's not what he said. And try to get that word from you. We talked about that on this past Wednesday. But there is this war going on, and we as Christians need to understand, I'm not talking about saying that the world's going to hate you, as in you have to be this rollover martyr that, you know, everybody has to hate you. Because if you're not being hated, then you must not be doing it right. Okay? God's kindness leads us to repentance. So if anything, we're going to be the most kind and loving people that exist and allow God's Spirit to use us to draw other people. But on a spiritual level, yep, it's hate. It's hate. And you don't have to look real far to see the way this flares up. And I think what's been interesting over these last several years, maybe the last decade or so, is that as media has grown, but more specifically social media, and that's why I even talked about that a little bit in the beginning, social media has a voice, right? There's this platform that exists that people all start to air what they think or what they're feeling, and it becomes this cumulative voice that somehow, because it's an accumulation, or there's a lot of people liking a comment, that people then take that must be right or true. That's the way things are. And it's so crazy dangerous, right? Because somebody could say anything, enough people start reading it, it starts getting posted over and over, and you know that what they said, that the more you read a lie, the more you start to not realize it's a lie. You hear it, you read it over and over again, and so there's this voice out there, and for a while, even since, you know, there's been print media, you know, we look at over the years how much that's grown. There used to only be, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, there was three stations, right? So which news station were you watching? One of the three. And so you got that perspective. And over time, the Christians would say, you know what? You know, there things can be slanted. They can be shown different ways. But there wasn't like you had a gajillion like you do now. I'm not sure if it's a gajillion, but it's a lot of different sources and opinions that you read. And who's got a doctorate in what that says this, that, and the other thing? And next thing you know, a couple of people are liking that one. And it starts to trend, right? You know what? Something starts to trend. It's starting to get more attention. It's got a hashtag. Now people... And they give this thing, this unheard voice, authority. Okay? There is one authority. This is the only authority there is. Right? So you have to know this so that when the voice speaks, you know whether it's something you should listen to or not. Let me give you a couple of examples just from this year of how this voice has reared up against the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? One of them is in San Antonio, Texas. And I got two articles with me. San Antonio, Texas. You may have heard about this one. But the airport at San Antonio said that Chick-fil-A can't put a restaurant in the airport. Can't. Okay. Maybe it's their right to say that. Do you know why they said that? Right, your first thoughts, at least my first thoughts were, oh, because they're not going to be open on Sunday. Maybe they want to make sure that the people on Sunday get served. Right? And you have to admire, whether you like Chick-fil-A or not, though I think everybody does. Right? Thanks, Reg. Good to see Reggie today. We were just talking about it yesterday. It's hard to call it anything but God's blessing sometimes. The place is open and there's a line wrapped around it. They throw up another store, this place is open, there's a line wrapped around it. But I don't want to become the Christian voice. I'll talk about that in a second. So I thought maybe it was because of the Sunday thing. Now, the authorities there and whoever they be said, we don't want Chick-fil-A to be open because their owners contribute to organizations like the Salvation Army. We don't like where the owners of this company give some of their personal money. So therefore, we don't want Chick-fil-A here. And there's a voice that's been rising up that's on different campuses, trying to keep Chick-fil-A off campuses, saying, you know what, if your organization espouses Christian values, and if in your interpretation of those values, you feel that the LGBTQ lifestyle is not something you can advocate for and support, we're now going to call you a hate group, and we don't want hate groups on our campus. So therefore, we don't want Chick-fil-A. You see how crazy this gets? How messy this gets. So there's a group of people and there's lawyers that are going to represent, you know, Chick-fil-A in this. But there's this voice that said, nope, we don't. Could you imagine if you took every place you ever spent a nickel and said, let me see where the owners, what the owners do with their money. Right? If you're going to apply the standard, apply it to everybody. Right? Let's say, hey, you know what? I'll go over here to Ace Hardware. You know, what do you do with your personal money? Because if I don't like it, I'm going to petition my city to get you shut down. This is nuts. This is what's going on. Here's my other one. Vice President's wife, Karen Pence, this is BBC News, to teach at anti-LGBT school. That's the headline. Can you believe it? She's going to teach at one of these places? It's a Christian school. She's taught there for 12 years. She's an art teacher. Hey, but the headline is that how dare, and I read some of the comments on it, some of the things that were getting liked or hated or not liked. Someone's saying, you know, I pay taxes, I'm an American, you know, I'm a gay American, therefore she should not be able to do this, you know, to go work at a school that doesn't support the lifestyle that I'm choosing. Okay? But the way the media portrays it is she's going to teach at an anti, right? Why doesn't it say anti- murder people school, because it's that too, right? Christians teach don't murder. They didn't pick that one, right? They didn't say, you know, Karen Pence to teach at anti-murder school, right? Because we can agree that murder is wrong, right? But in these other places where the voice, right, the world, I'm going to call it the world, has this voice that we need to know. You need to know what the Lord says. And I referenced the Christian voice because Christians have a voice too. It doesn't have a face, but it gets up there too. And there's one particular situation, I won't pull up all the details, but a very popular Christian artist, getting a lot of attention and even crossover play. He's been on some different large platforms and got a lot of attention, was in an interview. And once people do any sort of, crossover is where you were singing only to Christians, and now you're singing to people who aren't Christians. Isn't that horrible, right? Salt and light, right, people? Aren't we called to be salt and light? Like, we need to be in here. Jesus, we're going to catch him. He says, Father, don't take him out of the world. Right? The world hates you, but don't take him out. Because I'm going to give you everything you need. I need salt and light. And you guys know, because we've been them. We're the ones who were called out of that. Okay? That doesn't mean we now, build our four walls and say, oh, we got our four walls, no more. The door's open. Right? The day is, the Lord isn't slow keeping any of his promises. You got sick of hearing me say the scripture. But he's patient. Patient. He's waiting for people to come. That's all he's doing. He'll keep all his promises when he says it's right. So this person, what happens is, as you start to perform in different ways, and back when I first became a Christian, or I should say started walking and following the Lord, Amy Grant, okay? Date myself a little bit, was starting to sing in some of these circles. The Christian voice is the one that starts to scream up. Oh my goodness, did you see what she was wearing? I don't know if that's proper. It's crazy. And that's what's happening to this other young woman, right? I'm not sure if what she wore on that show was really appropriate. You guys, we all have to walk out our day-to-day walk with the Lord. You know what? Pray for people who are getting more attention, right? Especially, ministers that are in some of these large ministries with a lot of influence. Pray for them, okay? They're big targets. But at the same time, if God can get glory, if someone can go on a show that otherwise, wouldn't necessarily have a gospel testimony, and this person who's trying to live out their faith says, you know what, I'm going to sing about who my Savior is. I appreciate the way when the disciples came to Jesus one time and said, hey, there's some people over there, you know what they're doing? And Jesus is like, hey, if they're not against us, they're for us. Chill. My Father's in control here. So pray for these people, but in particular, this young woman probably got to another place where other folks, the Christian voice started to rise up, because when she was asked specifically about homosexuality, she said, you know what? Read your Bible. She goes, I keep telling people, read their Bible, figure it out for yourself. I'm working some of this stuff out. And maybe her answer wasn't quite what some of us Christians would have liked to have heard, this stand on my Bible and show you what's right and what's wrong, okay? But as I said, kindness leads people to repentance. That doesn't mean we don't speak the truth. We have to speak the truth. And I'm going to close today when I talk about an article I came across that I appreciated, how we stand at the intersection, and it's a cross, of grace and truth. Okay? Grace and truth. We can never compromise the truth when we're sharing and talking about grace. Okay? But at the same time, when we're being gracious, okay, we can't compromise the truth. And what happens is most folks, as they're living out this tension, okay, if there's things that they want to be a part of their life and lifestyle, they start to come over here into the grace camp. And sometimes they keep moving over into the grace camp until everything's permitted over here. And now they don't feel any conviction. Okay? And then there's others of us who like the world black and white. We're in the truth camp. And we're going to figure out for us, and then we're going to figure out for everybody else how you do this Christian thing. We're going to make sure you get it. Right? And then we become legalistic. Right? So to live at the intersection of grace and truth, justice and mercy. I love the way it's been put. And I think I have a whole other message coming about this, because I just became inundated with great things about this. I won't go there today. But the world's going to hate us. Right? There is this voice that's out there. Secondly, Jesus' presence here, then, and now demands a choice. It demands a choice. I referenced it before. We have to respond. I should say, we are responding to the revelation, consciously or not. I want you to do it consciously. Let me read you part of what we read again from the Message, Eugene Peterson's version of this, because it flows in a way that'll help me out here. If you find the godless world hating you, remember, it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world's going to hate you. When that happens, remember this. Servants don't get better treatment than their masters. If they beat on me, they're certainly going to beat on you. If they did what I told them, they will do what you tell them. They're going to do all these things to you because of the way they treated me, because they don't know the one who sent me. If I hadn't come and told them all this in plain language, it wouldn't be so. It wouldn't be so bad. As it is, they have no excuse. Hate me, hate my Father. It's all the same. If I hadn't done what I have done among them, works no one has ever done, they wouldn't be to blame. But they saw the God signs and hated anyway, both me and my Father. Interesting. They have verified the truth of their own scripture where it's written, they hated me for no good reason. Jesus warned his disciples, right? It's back in chapter 13, when he washed their feet, about the master not being, or the servants not being greater than the master yet. Look at what he does for them. And so he's telling them here, you know, hey, I'm the master, and look at the way I'm getting treated. Certainly you shouldn't expect differently if you're going to truly be my follower. And he references the fact that all these things that they got to see and experience, they've hardened themselves. Many of them have hardened. Some have softened, right? We've got the Nicodemuses out there. We've got those groups that are starting to follow him. But many have hardened. And the leadership, especially the religious leadership, they're getting harder by the moment, right? The word is trying to wash over them, and they're like, nope, put my umbrella up. Don't want to hear it, right? Don't want to hear that. Don't want that. And Jesus references the fact that the things that they've seen actually now can be held against them. And this is where there's a scriptural truth that we see, that the things that God has revealed to you, you are responsible in how you react to those, right? The further and the greater the revelation, the higher the level of responsibility. But that's nothing to be fearful of, right? Because he empowers us, right? He's like, I'm showing you stuff about me because I want you, right, to be empowered. I want you to be able to live the life that I have for you. And, you know, we know from Romans, Jesus isn't saying here that, you know, if he hadn't come and spoken to them, these folks would have had no sin, right? Because we know that in the book of Romans, it's very clear, you know, that God's made his revelation known and all men are without excuse, right? It's in Romans 1. So here, there's this testimony that's there. And the response of the folks there is that, nah. And that God's continual in that. And I have a very good friend, and he's going through a horrible situation right now. Married for, I want to say, 25-ish years. And his wife has become harder and harder and harder. And there's been this continual love on her, not just from him, but from other people trying to say, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and she keeps digging in her heels and digging in further and further. And she's on this path right now of saying, you know what? I've done this for this person and this for the church and this for my husband and this for my kid. I need to do me now. I need to do me. And she's filed for divorce. And they were leaders in their church. Is filed for divorce, is getting out of state, right, to try to get away. The kids right now are, I think, 21, 17, and 14. The two older are going to stay with dad. The younger is going with mom. And he's had such a hard time, years in trying to go to counseling. She's on at least her third affair. He said, you know what, because it's just more and more I've been realizing, he goes, for years now, he goes, if I walk in the room and her phone is face up, she flips it over. He goes, I don't look at her phone. She sleeps with it under her pillow. You know, like things like, he's trying to give her benefit. And I'm not going to paint, you know, I only hear one side, right? But at the same time, you know, I'm listening to the testimony. I'm listening to the different people that have been trying to speak into their life. And he goes, and it's to a point where it's hatred. He said, I walked in the room the other day. She's like, what? I was like, I just walked in the room. And his pastor has been, you know, well, they've had multiple people. There's been lots of counseling here to try. And who knows? Who knows, you know, what God's grace and mercy could do? And, you know, the prayer is obviously that she, almost just like the prodigal son, right, comes to his senses, right, came to his senses. That maybe she'll just come to her senses before this is really all thrown away. But his pastor was saying to him, you know, and he's like, he's been, you know, sharing with me, I've been praying with him. He's like, sometimes I go outside, other than the boils, I feel like Job. You know, it's like everything just keeps turning against me and whatnot. But his pastor said to him, he's like, you know what? She can run to another state, but the word's still there, right? It's a scripture in Psalms. You can go to the highest mountain. You're still there. You can go to the depths of Sheol. He's still there. She's going to pop up somewhere else, and there's going to be somebody just like you, or somebody. God's love is going to be this persistent thing, and let's pray that she doesn't keep hardening and doesn't get to a point where her conscience gets severed or whatever might happen in that. But there's a parallel or a similarity in here where Jesus is saying, you know what? They've been hearing. They're now accountable for what I did right in front of them, and they're saying, nope, he's got a demon. That's how he did that trick. Right? A demon did it. Beelzebub did it. Right? That's what they said sometimes. So we've seen so far in here, the world hates Jesus. There's going to be hatred towards us, this voice. There's this presence of Jesus that demands a choice. And then lastly, these great words that the Holy Spirit is going to clarify, comfort, and keep us. And we're definitely going to talk more about that next week. But, Jesus is warning the disciples that when some of these things happen, when you're put out of here and you're put out of there and you're wondering, what's going on? Because these are the people that were helping us know about God, right? Now they're saying, if you think that's God, you're out of here, right? You're out of here. That's hard. He's like, you know what? I'm going to send you from the Father, the Spirit. He'll console you in this, right? When you're going through a hard time, there is nothing better than the presence of the right person. And maybe even just it's somebody, their presence. They don't have to say all the right things, just that you know that they're there for you. Right? That's the first way I think about the Holy Spirit. Right? He's referenced as this comforter, right? Paraclete. He comes alongside you. And he's like, you know what? I don't care what the world's doing or what the world's saying, you're okay. You're okay because you're in his Spirit. And so he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring this comfort. He's going to clarify the things that Jesus has said, because even John has a couple of times said so far in the gospel, he's like, they didn't get it when it was happening. They just didn't get it. Later on, they got it because they needed the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit for us to get it. Otherwise, we're just moving along like everybody else. Wide's the road, leads to destruction. Okay, we're not, I'll say thinking, but the enemy's trying to keep us numb to that stuff. So the Holy Spirit will come. He will clarify, he'll comfort, and he's our keeper, right? He's going to hold and bring to fruition all that God has for us. And yet we're going to see over time, we see it happened then, it's going to continue to happen now. Paul, right? Paul references the fact that I thought I was loving and serving God as I killed these Christians. Killed them! Right? That's why he says, chief among sinners was I. And yet, that's also why he so humbly, and because he's received such forgiveness, said, you know, I don't consider my life worth nothing. If I can't testify to the gospel of God's grace, my life is worth nothing. And if Jesus isn't raised, we're all a bunch of fools. Right? But he is. Right? And you think about the life and what Paul got to experience. And to know that God can take someone who's that rebellious, though he was doing it out of what he felt was a zealous love of God. I'll show God how much I love him. I'm going to kill these people. Right? And we see that, right? We see that among some of the other radical extremists who, right, calling out, praise Allah as they, literally blow themselves up. Right? Thinking that they're serving God in this. So the enemy loves to sow confusion. He loves to sow confusion, but as we live today, he has sent his Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you each as I wrap this up here. Right? We walk with Jesus day by day, moment by moment. We need his Spirit all the time to help us discern, to help us not listen to the wrong voice, to hear his voice, to encourage each other, right? To not be a critical Christian voice. But at the same time, realize that, you know what? I'm figuring this out too. I don't have it perfect, right? To think that I could stand up here and say, so glad you all came here this morning because we finally have a place where all Christian doctrine is figured out perfectly, and it's here at New Life Church. Right? Be Bereans, right? Keep studying. Let's walk this out together. We'll stand with each other. We'll cry with each other. We laugh with each other. We party with each other. Speaking of, Lord, Raina, who didn't make it this morning, I'm going to give her a super hard time. Their whole family. She had a big 40th party for herself yesterday, okay? Held no bars back, right? She just, said, I'm doing it all. They hired this Polynesian. They had the hula dancers, they had the fire throwers, the whole night. At one point, they're calling all the guys up there, right? And I'm hearing Tom DiStefano, Andre Rondotten. Me and Andre are hiding. We're like, they wanted to get the guys up there to do, 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 do. I didn't need that on YouTube so that then I could hear the Christian voice say, oh, did you see Pastor Tom yesterday? But if you look close, you'll find some people you may know with coconuts and hula skirts on. Okay. You know what? We're walking this out together. To some of you here even saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe. And other people are saying, well, it's just clean fun. Walk it out. Okay? Work out your own, not your neighbor's. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? And so then that brings me back to this place of grace and truth. Okay? Grace and truth. Right? One of the most powerful, beautiful things about God and his love and his discipline and his mercy, he knows exactly when I need mercy and he knows when I need correction. Right? As a parent, I wish I knew that perfectly. Right? And usually in two parents, one is more correction and one's more mercy. Laura will tell you, I happen to be more mercy. So as a result, I hear now, well, you didn't do this. Both my kids are here, so they're getting a chuckle out of this. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've been forgiven much, right? I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. You're lying to me? I'm going to pretend I don't think you're lying to me. All right? Laura's like, they're lying to you. Can't we do this? No, we shouldn't do that. Okay? But the Lord, perfect every time. Exactly how much mercy, exactly how much discipline. Right? When it's a corrective discipline. It's always out of love. Right? He says, fathers, you correct in the way you thought was good, and you're just earthly fathers. How much more perfect? But we need to hear the Holy Spirit to know. Right? To know, God, are you saying something to me in this difficult time? Or am I just dealing with the fact that the world hates me? My friend. He's been so introspective. I'm like, dude, wake up. Of course, I'm on his side, okay? But he's beating himself up. Yet God's still using him. And so anyway, you get what I'm saying, right? So I'm going to encourage you today as you leave, right? Walk with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you to see and understand, do I need to be gracious and merciful, or do I need to speak the word of truth in love? Right? Just even because you get to be on the truth side doesn't mean you get to jump up on the seat and hammer somebody over the head or break your Bible out and choke them with it. Right? It's still in love. Again, the reference I made a few times about his kindness leading us to repentance, that blows me away. Right? Not that we don't speak the truth about hell and the fact that an eternity from God is the most horrific thing any of us could think of. Right? Yet he didn't make that his platform. He mentioned it plenty of times. Okay? But he's like, I have come to show you the love of the Father, the love that the Father has, so much so I'm going to lay down my life. All right? He who literally emptied himself of all that was his. Right? He could have come and been just served by us. No. He's like, I want you to know the Father in ways that there's no other way. And it's to actually have our sins forgiven. So if you stand, I want to pray a blessing over you and close. And if anyone is here this morning that, doesn't know the Lord, you've never said, God, I need to know you personally. I want to encourage you to come forward as we dismiss and allow one of us to pray for you and allow you to start this unbelievable, yet believable, powerful relationship with God. And if there's anyone here that has anything, physical or otherwise, that you want prayer for and want some agreement for, I invite you also to come forward and allow us to pray for you. So Father God, I thank you for this day because you've ordained it. You have set it in place, and it's a part of your purpose. And Lord, and we get to, because you've called us, we get to know and walk with and experience you in it. And Lord, I ask that you would help each of us to seek you first. Seek you first, Lord. And then love. Love those around us in the ways that you show us. And if we have places of authority or leadership, that you help us to apply that well, that we can love like you've loved and lead like you lead. And at the same time, Lord, never compromise. So Holy Spirit, help us to be wise. Help us to be wise as we move forward and move from here. And God, I just say thank you that you have so graciously called us to yourself. And I want to pray this blessing on everyone who's here this morning using the words that you gave Moses when he said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You are blessed and dismissed. If you have time and want to come on the other side, we have a fellowship hall open with refreshments. If you need some prayer, please, please, please come forward. Allow us to pray for you.